Why Democrats Nominate Leftists for President. The fatal flaw in the Democratic Party presidential nominating process, stretching back to the late 1960s, is that the base of the party has been moving further left than the general electorate. In a winner-take-all primary system, such as the one the Republican Party uses, little-known contenders have a hard time gaining traction. Yet since the Democrats split delegates proportionately in primaries, depending upon total votes for each candidate, little-known candidates can rise to the top. In 2008, Obama gained an insurmountable advantage simply by racking up a series of impressive wins in selected, smaller states where he had an advantage. The other quirks of primaries is one both parties suffer. Voters in primaries tend to be party activists who are not typically representative of general election voters. Because Democrat activists dominate primary voting, the winners of the primaries tend to reflect those who vote. As a result, Democratic presidential primaries since the late 1960s have favored leftist candidates who are favorites of the party's activist hardcore, but are little known to the general public. The question in 2008 will be if the Democrats have succeeded in nominating another Mike Dukakis, or even worse, a George McGovern. Neither Dukakis nor McGovern could assemble a winning voter coalition, yet both left their Democratic Party national nominating conventions confident their leftist message would bring electoral victory in the fall. For the most part, African Americans have remained Democratic, but only because Democratic candidates continue to support massive welfare programs, many of which FDR started and LBJ expanded under the banner of the Great Society. The FDR coalition of minorities and blue-collar, middle-class union workers is unlikely ever to come back together. The problem is that working-class white voters became Reagan Democrats, largely in their opposition to the Democratic Party's enthusiasm for the welfare state. Their disdain of taxes and their disapproval of the leftist anti-war Democrats they saw as opposing the U.S. military, even when U.S. armed forces were overseas in the field of battle. In a nation where the majority of voters remain center-right politically, Obama can expect an uphill battle on the issues, and that will be the fight McCain plans to bring in the general election contest. Axelrod knows this, which is why he wants to run a high-concept campaign. Can Obama move to the center, a necessity in presidential politics, without losing his base of left-leaning activists in the Democratic Party? After denouncing Reverend Jeremiah Wright and leaving Trinity United Church of Christ, Obama will certainly face the strong criticism of radical elements in the African American community. Almost immediately after Obama's More Perfect Union speech in Philadelphia, when he began distancing himself from Wright, charges were being posted on internet chat rooms by radicals, upset that Obama was just another Uncle Tom because he dared say anything negative about Wright. Hope is a great theme for winning a Democratic primary campaign. But how far will Yes, We Can take Obama when the policy questions on the table involve what exactly he plans to do about issues like taxes, abortion, globalism, and national defense?